time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
687. That's emails. So if you sent me an email and I haven't gotten back to you yet, please bear with me. As I try to tell all of you, except for those of you who send me pictures of male parts, I try to return just about every one of our emails. So I'm a little bit behind today. Got a busy day ahead of us. It is Friday. It's Flea Flicker Friday. Got a lot to try to cover today. So just bear with me. And, you know, I said yesterday, hey, send me an email where you're listening from. Now, some of you did, some of you didn't. And I continue to be amazed. Australia, Saudi Arabia, the Netherlands. I mean, it's you know, I used to be on terrestrial radio here in Columbus, and I think I developed somewhat of a pretty good audience. But, you know, it was a limited audience, wasn't it? Because it was just kind of in this local area. And now Jesus said, we're going to go into all the world. Go ye into all the world. We're going into all the world here in this little whatever you call this thing we're doing. And I just appreciate y'all being with us and all of you throwing your 2 cents in worth. Even sometimes I don't think your 2 cents is worth 2 cents, or maybe you don't think my 2 cents is worth 2 cents. Appreciate you, all of you being out there. Man, as the opening to the show says, the world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. I made that about 20 years ago, that opening to the show, 20 years ago. I paid professionally to have that thing made when I was doing, again, terrestrial radio. It was opening to my terrestrial radio show. The world's on fire. The culture is disintegrating. Man, is it ever, it is, wow, huh? And you know what really discourages me? I don't get discouraged very often. I got discouraged a little bit yesterday. When I go online, Facebook in particular, I've gotten caught in the middle. I didn't get in the middle of it, but a discussion of the next generation. What do we call them? Millennials? Whoever they are. They're so, so brainwashed and so, so lost. The job, the public education system has absolutely done its job. And boy, do we have a job ahead of us if we are only a move of the Holy Spirit of God can do anything about it. And I hate to say this, tough times may be what we need, folks. Tough times may be exactly what we need to drive people away from their selfishness or self-centeredness. And we live in unbelievable times. Let me cover a couple things here real quick. I don't know. Hey, Sheldon, does Jared have that video ready of Bob? Yeah. Just give me a thumbs up when he does. I can't hear you, Sheldon. I'm sorry. Okay, because yesterday, you know, I was talking about Sky High and the big tower that Bob Evans had made, and I said, I sent a video. I said, I want you to see the video so you understand what Bob's putting together out here. And, of course, I don't know how it is for you. You send it. This file is too large, and I don't know what to do if the file is too large. So this morning I was able to text it to Jared, and Jared's going to try to throw it up here on the screen for you. I want you to get a feel for how large this cross tower is that Bob Evans is. I mean, he's Bob and Tammy have just been unbelievable, and because you can't, I'm just telling you, you can't hear it. Good, Jared's got it up there. So Bob has now come to Sky High twice, two different times. He's brought a great big trailer, and what he's done is assembled this tower, and he's going to build a cross on top of it. Go ahead and play. It's only 45 seconds. Go ahead and play it real quick there, Sheldon, if you can.
Today he delivered the second part of the tower, which is right here. It goes clear up into a crow's nest. And then you got a bunch of wood here that he's going to build the cross out of. So this thing, as you look at it, is going to stand about tower's going to be about 60 foot high, 40 foot high, and then 20 feet on top of that would be the tower, be the cross. He's going to build the cross.
Is that something? So when I'm talking about Bob putting a lot of time and effort and energy into it, folks, we're not talking about just sticking some little, it's amazing. God bless Bob. God bless Bob and Tammy. Appreciate all they do. Hey, I want to run through a little bit of some news. Kurt Knox coming up here. We're going to talk about Esther Fast here real quickly. Bear with me here, folks. Is Bobby Lee in here today? Because I get moving so fast, I get slowed down here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Bobby, talk about again what's going on in Gettysburg, and that you need to hear from people who are going to be able to come. Can you help us out there, Bobby?
Yeah, Antifa has literally put out the word that they're going to come to Gettysburg for a flag burning, followed by desecrating Gettysburg, possibly even going into the communities and tearing up the communities. All right. Now, Gettysburg, the government put out a press release yesterday saying that they're aware of the threats, monitoring all social media about the issue, and are making preparations for what could take place. And I've communicated some with certain militias, and I'm told that militias are showing up, and our guys are making plans to go down there, more than probably 6, 7, 8 of us, give or take, maybe more that will trickle in. We're making preparations to go down there before it kicks off in the morning and see how this thing pans out on July 4th.
Hey, Bobby, why don't they ever call Antifa the militia? Is it Antifa the militia, you think?
I think it's a terrorist organization. It's not even a militia. It is a communist terrorist organization, as is Black Lives Matter.
Okay, Bobby, but listen, I want you to understand this. Folks, listen to the brainwashing now. I want you to hear me. When Bobby mentioned some militia members, some of you cringed. Some of you cringed because you've been programmed to think militia bad, BLM good. You know you have been. You know you have been. You have got stinking thinking. Let me help you out here, folks. Constitutional militia good, BLM bad. Let's do that again all together, all right? Constitutional militia good, BLM bad. One more time. Constitutional militia good, BLM bad. We'll try to pick that up this weekend and see if we can't maybe reprogram you to understand. So Bobby's looking for guys you might want. Bobby's going to be there. Got to still check my schedule, clear my schedule. Bobby, I'm going to try to come. A lot going on. But if you're out there and want to go stand and defend with those guys, defend Gettysburg, whatever, Bobby is the guy to get a hold of. You say, Coach, I don't know how to get a hold of Bobby. Well, get a hold of me, and we'll connect you to Bobby, okay? Don't forget tactical training. July 17th, 18th, and 19th, we're going to teach everybody how to shoot, how to use your gun, weapons training. Said, man, Coach, what? Constitutional militia, good. BLM, bad. Okay, we're trying to make sure that you're prepared to be able to defend your family. That information is on our website. You have to register. Jamie Waldron has agreed to come and be part of it. Jamie Waldron, Chad Estes, Gary Donahoe, we're going to get some great training from beginners to finishers. Wait a minute. Constitutional militia, good. BLM, bad. Constitutional militia, just, what is it? Formed. And BLM, government, communist, funded. You got the difference? You understand the difference? You understand that? I hope you do. What else? I got to go. Alicia's in court today. Say, what? Alicia? Yeah, remember our friend Alicia who was arrested at Planned Parenthood? Today's her day in court in Columbus. So running over there today to stand with Alicia. Actually, it's just going to be an arraignment. But I want to be able to be there with her. Running through stuff quickly. They're heading towards mandatory masks, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to pull back a minute on that because I want to go right now to Kurt Knock, who Some of you will remember the name about a year ago, whenever I lose track of time, Kurt, when we had tried to get an organized prayer at our local county flagpoles. You guys all remember that. I think it was about a year or so.
2018 midterms.
When, oh, my goodness. Is that when it was? Been that long ago. Wow. Wow. Well, so Kurt's at it again, and he's organizing at govpray.com, govpray.com, and Esther Fast, a nationwide Esther Fast. Kurt, come on in here, man, and take a few hacks at us. Tell us what's going on.
Morning, Dave. How are you guys doing? It's good to be back with you today.
Thanks, man. Good to have you.
So, some of your, a lot of your people actually participated with us 2 years ago as we gathered at our flag poles to lift up the elections in our country around the United States. And we're going to be doing that again and talking about that later next month or two. But in the meantime, I had planned on starting to promote the Meet You at the Polls prayer initiative back in February and March, but then all this crap hit the fan.
Yeah, and, changed a lot of things.
Changed a lot of things. Nobody wanted to talk about going outside or getting together. So so that was kind of put on ice for the moment. And earlier this month, for the last couple of months, my pastor has been walking us through the book of Esther in the Old Testament. And if you guys have not read that book, it is an amazing story and so inspiring. Interestingly, it's the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention the name of God, but God is very present in that book and very evident from beginning to end. About 3 or 4 Sundays ago, Pastor Lindsay was in chapter 4, where we find the most famous passage from that book. And for those of you who don't know the story, let me just set it up for you. The Jews were living in the Persian Empire at that time. This was after the Babylon Empire had fallen, and it was King Xerxes or King Ahasuerus, depending on what translation you're reading, who was presiding at that time. And through a chain of events, a Jewish woman became queen. Her name was Esther, but her identity was not known. That is her racial identity and heritage. Her cousin Mordecai, who had raised her from a child, had told her not to tell anybody that she was a Jew. Well, there was a very wicked man in that
society. Wait a minute, Kurt. Wait a minute. You mean so sometimes deception is okay?
Well, actually, sometimes it is very prudent.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Her cousin Mordecai had refused to bow down to a particular individual in this kingdom that the king had exalted. His name was Haman. And Haman was pretty full of himself and took exception to the fact that this one Jewish fellow just wouldn't do him the proper sort of respect, homage, actually. And finagled the king into signing a document, an edict, which allowed the citizens of the Persian Empire to absolutely annihilate the Jewish race at a particular date in the future. There would be no repercussions, and everything that they had could be taken as spoil. So Mordecai went into fasting and mourning about this, and he sent word to Queen Esther in the palace, and he said, you need to go in and speak to the king and see what you can do about this. And his very famous words are, and who knows but what God may have put you into the king's palace for just such a time as this, just such a time as this. And Esther sent word back to Mordecai, and she said, hey, I can't go in to see the king, because if you go in to see the king, not having been called for, you will be put to death unless he raises his royal scepter.
Is that sort of like trying to get a meeting with your elected officials, Kurt? That be same thing?
Yeah, or the post office.
Yeah, okay.
so she said, the king hasn't called for me in 30 days. And so she was understandably nervous about walking in. But she sent word back to Mordecai saying, gather the Jews of Susa, which was the capital city. Tell them to pray and to fast, going without food or drink 3 days and 3 nights. I and my handmaidens will do the same, and then I will go in to see the king. And if I perish, I perish. So we see Esther's willingness to risk her life on behalf of her people that they might be saved. So our pastor covered that on that Sunday morning, and after the sermon, I was just kind of meditating on this. And the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that it was not simply Esther who was put into into the king's palace for such a time as this, but that each one of those Jews in the capital city also had a role to play here. Each one of those Jews was called to provide her the prayer cover that she was going to need in order to be successful in her audience with the king. Not just so that she wouldn't be killed, but that the king would in some way find a way to reverse that edict. Now in that day, the laws of the Medes and Persians stated that no edict could be reversed. You couldn't, once it was made, it was cast in stone. Not even the king himself could do anything about it.
What about the Supreme Court, Kurt? Could the Supreme Court do anything about it?
They would try.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So basically the Jews ultimately were saved. But as I reflected on this story and saw the fact that those Jews in Susa, who were praying and fasting for her, were so critical to her mission, I also started seeing a lot of similarities between what the Jews were going through in that period and what we're going through today. We've got a ruler in both cases who is a very unpredictable man who oftentimes says things he shouldn't say without thinking and rubs a lot of people the wrong way. We see a people group who has a history of enslavement. Of course, the Jews were enslaved for 400 plus years. The black population here in America were enslaved for decades. And both groups have known what it's like to be oppressed and discriminated against. We have a lot of different things going on in each culture. And I began to wonder, is this perhaps some sort of a template that God has set up for us in order to show us what we need to do in time of an existential crisis within our country? And as that idea started to formulate in my mind, the Holy Spirit said, put together an Esther fast for the United States. Like, you sure you're talking to the right guy? I know Coach Dave and a couple of others. I mean, that's about it. But that was my instruction. And so that Sunday, I worked on it. Monday morning, I was working on the write-up. And the phone, a call came into my phone here, and I didn't pay any attention to it. I was occupied. When I finished my write-up, I took this phone, and I turned it on. I opened it up to see who had called. And Jared, do you have that image that I sent over? If you can throw that up on the screen, this is what I saw. At the top of the phone list was the person who had called me moments earlier. I have not talked to this person. She was somebody I knew in a church I attended over a decade ago. Hadn't spoken to her in years, and I do not know another person in my life by the name of Esther. This was God's way of confirming and saying to me, Kurt, you are doing exactly what I've called you to do. Your job is to put it together and help get the word out. My job is to see to it that the right people get this message, that the growth and the harvest occurs. That's my department.
Jared or Sheldon, govpray.com, if you could pull that up there. govpray.com. So Kurt is calling for a Esther fast. Now, Kurt, you're talking to a group of people here who we're fasters here. We a lot of us fast regularly. So go ahead and explain where, when, how, why, just where and when, Kurt. I think the people in this, at least in this audience, understand the power of fasting.
Got it. Well, where is wherever you happen to be. Unlike the meet you at the polls thing, we're not gathering together unless you choose to do so. So it's generally going to be within your own home and whatever you happen to be doing. An Esther fast is 3 days without food or drink. A true Esther fast is 3 days without water as well. Now, some of us are not able to do that, and God will take whatever we are able to do, and he will make good things come of that. So you're still welcome to participate, even if you can't go without water. But folks, nevertheless,
folks, fasting is about the heart. It's not about whether or not you snuck a French fry. Okay, it's about the heart. Okay, go ahead, Kurt.
It is, but what we're facing here is a serious thing. This is not, I'm going to give up chocolate for 3 days. If you want to join this fast, then you're going to sacrifice and you're going to labor with the rest of the body of Christ. We are going to suffer through this. And that is what it's designed to do. It's for God to get our attention and for us to get his, to break through the throne room of heaven.
When are we doing this, Kurt? When are we doing this?
This starts next Tuesday night at sundown. The Jewish calendar days start at sundown. So it's Tuesday night sundown through Friday night sundown, whatever that looks like in your particular time zone. Jesus told us when you pray and when you fast, you do it quietly in your own closet. You don't make a show of it. But this is an Esther fast. This is a corporate fast. Just like when the Jews would get together in Jerusalem and they would all come together and pray like we did around the polls. Mm-hmm. In this kind of a fast, we are fasting and praying together. So we're encouraging people to form Zoom groups or whatever your internet video software of choice might be. Get together with your friends or in person if you would like, and let's work through this together, interceding with God on behalf of this country.
Tuesday through Friday. Now, Kurt, there's a place on the website to sign up. Do you want them to actually sign up that they're going to do it, Kurt?
You don't have to by any means. However, if you do, then you will be able to receive our updates. We're going to send out some prayer points and so forth, probably some instructions about the Zoom situation. So if you want to just kind of get inside the loop on that, you're certainly welcome to do it. I do want to make a comment based on something you said earlier, Dave. We are not praying here that God remove his hand of judgment from this country simply so that we can continue to do what we've been doing all along.
Amen, buddy. Amen.
You are absolutely right. When God brings judgment, there is a time when his wrath is poured out and he's not looking for, nor will he accept forgiveness. Once the cup of iniquity is full, it's all over at that point. Amen. And he will come in and he will wipe this earth clean and he'll start over. But up until that point, God is seeking for us to turn to him. And we are entering into this fast that our country might be changed, that our church, our apostate church, might return to him, and that the people that we live amongst who are not believers might see what Jesus looks like and turn to him as well. That's what this is all about.
Amen. Amen. Hey, anybody want to come in? Jump in here right now. We're going to do this Tuesday night. Anybody wants to Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Tuesday night. So it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will be the fast. Anybody can participate. You can sign up at the address if you want to. Spread the words to others that it's gone on. And remember, God's heart is not moved by the number of days doesn't impress the Lord, right? Obedience, whatever he calls your heart to do. And it's a prayer of repentance, folks. Not God bless America, but a prayer of repentance. Somebody come on in.
Well, we all know Slavs were the first slaves, right? And Slavs were not black.
That's a whole different story, Vinny. We'll get to that in a second here. Anybody else want to anything to add to it? So, Kurt, run through the details for us again real quickly here, brother. When we're going to do it, again, you're speaking to an audience who understands fasting, or at least several of us, many of us, regularly engage in it. So give us the where's and when's and all that again, bud, if you would.
All right, Tuesday night sundown, we go into our fast. Friday night sundown, we come out of our fast. The preparation for this fast is very important. There is certain things that you might want to do because your body's going to be basically shut down for those 3 days, and you'll see some information on our website, govpray.com, that talks about some of that. But your heart preparation is really what I'm talking about here.
Amen.
When we come to God, we need to come to him with the right spirit, and that is a humble spirit. Amen. Right there on your screen, The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So there's also a link to a Derek Prince video on our website, which talks about this entering into a spirit of humility when we go into a fast. That is the most important thing. If we're not there, then our fast is not going to have the impact that that God is wants it to have. So that's very important.
Excuse me.
We had communion Wednesday morning with our prayer group here in the Woodlands, Texas, and Pastor Jose Pascua was talking about how Christ's body was broken for us. And when he said that, another little light came on. I've probably thought this before, I don't know, but it was new to me at the time. As Christ's body was broken for us, we, being his body today, must now be broken for him.
Amen.
And that's the way it works.
Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Hey, Kurt, I don't know if you can join us, Kurt, on Tuesday. If you get up early in the morning, jump back in and remind people what's going on. But folks, let's begin to spread the word about this. The website is govpray.com. GovPray, like we're praying for the government. GovPray.com. Spread it. See how many people we can get involved with it. And God bless you, Kurt, for being obedient to the Lord.
Thank you, Dave, and thanks for letting me be on with you today.
All right, buddy. Thanks, brother. Hey, real quickly, folks, as I switch gears. Hey, Chad, Chad's not in there. Isn't he having an event with us this weekend? Chad, I forgot. I got so busy, forgot all about Chad.
Yeah, I'm in here.
I'm sorry, Chad. You're having something going on at your house that maybe get all those get all those people focused in here as well, Chad.
All right. Hey, good Friday, everybody. We got what we got to going on today is we got some firearms training going on this morning. And then this evening, we're going to kick off with our regular brigade meeting. We're not having hamburgers tonight. We're having a special dish tonight, 8 p.m. And then Saturday, all day Saturday, then half day Sunday, followed with communion, and the rest of the day is fellowship.
So they can still get there then, huh, Chad? Still can get there.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. If you have a problem getting there, finances or whatever, please send me an email, and we can try to get you taken care of on that.
Awesome, Chad. Appreciate all you do, man. Chad will be out here in Ohio here in a couple 3 weeks, getting things going at Sky High for us. Hey, do it real quick, Sheldon. Psalm 11. Bring that up for me there, brother. It's third thing from the bottom. Psalm 11. Listen, I don't know if you guys, Kurt, thanks. Thanks for being with us, Kurt, and all you're doing, man. And we're glad to be part of it. But you guys, you know me, right? You know me. Faith without works is dead. Now the fast clears the way for the victory. The fast prepares the ground to be taken. Do you guys hearing me? And I got a word from our buddy Mike Blake out there. Somebody has told me this, Mike. I don't know if you're listening right now, but I know you will later on. That the battle that you're fighting, brother, that 40-day fast that you went through, Mike, you've already won that war, brother. That war has already been won. Folks, listen, you got to understand that when you get victory through the Lord, it's like if you imagine an overgrown field, your fasting is a hedge trimmer. Your fasting clears the hedges so that victory can be obtained. And whatever it is that you're fasting for, now hear me, you got to walk down that path. The fasting cleared the hedges. It cleared the briars. They may look like they've all been there, but they all have been cut. And you have to walk down that path and maybe do some raking and some cleaning up. But the fact of the matter is that if you fast and you do not follow it with action, you have missed the whole thing. You with folks, you with me? So that's why I put in Psalm 11. I asked Sheldon to throw that up there for you today. It says this, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow Time out. Anybody seen any bows being bent by the wicked? The wicked bend their bow. The wicked make ready their arrows upon the string, that they may shoot privily. They may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Don't you miss this, that the attack that we are seeing in America today is directly at the upright in heart. It is at everything righteous, folks. They have drawn their bow. They have made ready their arrow. They have pulled it back, and it's aimed at everything righteous. And so then David says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Folks, it doesn't say what will they do. It says what can they do. That's a pretty open-ended question, isn't it? If the foundations be destroyed, are the foundations of America, are they being destroyed? Foundations of Christianity, are they being destroyed? We look around. Well, the foundations are being destroyed. What can the righteous do? What can we do? Well, one of the things is fast. That's one of the things we can do. Why? Because the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids try. He sees what's going on. He's trying the children of men. He's waiting to see how his people will respond if the foundations have been destroyed. How will we respond? It says the Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence. Uh-oh, I thought Jesus loves everybody. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, the Lord's soul hateth. Hey, he wrote it, not me. Not me. It's not the gospel according to Coach. The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his, the Lord's soul hateth. And upon the wicked, who? Upon what? Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. Folks, we got this backwards. The snares and the fire and the brimstone and the horrible tempest, they seem to be falling on the righteous. That's what appears to be happening. What's going on? We got to reverse this thing. For the righteous, verse 7, Lord loveth righteousness. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. What's the problem in America? There ain't no righteousness. There isn't even any righteousness in the church. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're the last hope. What? The Lord hears us. He hates the violence. He hates the wicked. He's raising up a remnant. He's raising up his church. His countenance, the Lord's countenance, sees the upright. Guys, start it, folks. He's not sitting up there twiddling his thumbs. He's saying, wake up. Come on, wake up. The foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? Well, let's go do it. Whatever it is, let's go do it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, in the book of Esther, when she asked Mordecai to go and let the people know about her request that they pray and fast, I think it's very, very telling that in that book, she doesn't tell Mordecai to tell them what to pray and fast for. I mean, everybody understands the situation, but she doesn't tell them, ask them to pray and fast that I can go into the king's presence without getting hurt. She didn't stipulate that. She just said, pray and fast. Amen. And the point you made about praying and fasting without follow-up action, and that action should be at the direction of the Holy Spirit, absolutely, like you were talking. A lot of times we don't know. When we pray or when we fast, we don't know what to do. That's probably kind of like praying in tongues. You don't know what to pray. And I would suggest, and I'm glad to see Kurt here. Kurt, I would suggest highly that you take into account that Jesus taught us to pray that his will be done. Now, I think all of us agree that when there is agreement in prayer, there's special strength there. But see, when we're all not exactly on the same exact sheet of music, then the agreement may or may not be there. But if we're all agreeing for God's will, and we're all listening for what is our little part in doing God's will, not just praying about it, but actually getting in there and taking that step that Esther did. If Esther had not taken the step into the presence of the king, and she didn't know whether she was going to come out of there alive or not, she might have been carried out of there as far as she knew. But the point is, I believe that if we are obedient to what Jesus taught us, and we stop trying to figure out our own agendas and our own ways that we think God ought to put things together, let's let and trust him to put this thing together.
Amen, that's Larry.
Absolutely right, Larry. Absolutely.
Here's what we're up against, and here's the urgency of it. Jared, pull up Sheldon. I'm sorry. Burn it down. Burn it down. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Folks, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy is loosed. They are loosed, folks. They are loosed. It is now or never, make or break for the enemy. And as I said, the church is so stinking confused. Hang on. Constitutional militia, good? BLM, bad. I'm going to tell you this. Most pastors, given the choice, out of ignorance, would side with BLM. They would side with BLM. Because why? It sounds so righteous and holy. Black Lives Matter. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Constitutional militia. Oh, no violence. No. Got it? See what they're doing to us? Now, I want you to watch something here. This is powerful. This is Martha McCallum interviewing the Black Lives Matter leader. And I want you guys to watch this video. The reason I'm playing the video, he's talking about burning cities down. That's what everybody is focused. But I want you to watch. Those of you who've been watching the show for any length of time are going to understand this. I want you to watch this guy tie Martha McCallum in knots. Now listen, remember one of Saul Alinsky's primary weapons was what? Make the enemy live up to his own standards. Watch this guy tie Martha McCallum in knots. Why? Because it's been blocked. How can that? Okay. No, that's fine. Folks, listen, please listen to this. Listen to me now. Don't miss this. This is Alinsky. I can promise you, number one, the Black Lives Matter movement ain't black lives. There's some blacks involved with it. There are black faces out in the front of it. But this is a communist Marxist movement. This is not a black, folks, it ain't black. So we've got this guy who has a black face, and he has been trained, I'm telling you, he has been trained in Alinsky's tactics. Remember the lady who formed Black Lives Matter? She said that they were trained Marxists. Do you remember that? Remember that? Okay, he's going to come up here if we can ever get to. I'm not blaming you, Sheldon. I don't know why. I could have sent you another clip of it. That was easy. But can we just click on it down here in the news, Black Lives Matter leader? Can you just click on that? That should pull it right up. Because I want you to see how they win. No, over on the side, it says Black Lives Matter leader. Guy with the hat on, the white hat. There, try that. That should pop it right up.
Well, let's see. Might be blocked too, Coach.
Why would they be blocking it? I just watched it this morning.
Oh, because it tells the truth, maybe, Coach?
Well, then listen. I'm trusting Sheldon. He's doing it. It's not Sheldon's fault. I don't know why this video won't play. I just played it this morning.
Hey, Coach, when I was in Black Lives Matter.
Hey, Sheldon, hang on a second, Jeff. Sheldon, just Google Black Lives Matter cause to burn down the system. Something. It's all over the internet. I don't know why I use this one. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry. Running short on time.
Well, when I was preaching to the Black Lives Matter in my city of Fallon, I told them, you're desecrating my city.
There it is, Sheldon.
And they all went quiet.
Now, second one, Sheldon. Go to the second one. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm trying to get this going. Because, folks, I want you to watch the strategy. Watch the strategy. First of all, Black Lives Matter, communist organization, uses a black face. This guy, I promise you, has been trained in Alinsky tactics. And watch him tie her in knots. Puts her on the defense right away, making her live up to her own standards. Go ahead. What in the heck is going on here? Hey, Sheldon, go back to the other one. This has been like a nightmare here. Go to the
Dave,
first one. Dave, yes, yes.
If this country, until the video goes, let's just assume this is what takes place. This is their tactic. These people are professionally trained. Just like I go to a continuing legal education course as a lawyer.
Right.
He goes to a continuing legal education course as a Marxist.
That's right, brother. And watch him tie her in knots. Go ahead. I think we got it now.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. All right. And I could be speaking figuratively. Okay. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation.
See, daggone it. We got to find one. Listen, I've spent enough time in it. I got to get the whole thing. You got to hear it. You got to hear him. Try Hank Newsom. Try the third one. Try that. No, that's it. Folks, you got to trust me. The 6 minute. Oh, this is so frustrating. This is so frustrating because if this is important, because if we don't see how this is done, we're not going to get it. We're not going to get it. If we don't understand how they do what they do, you're not going to get it. He ties her in knots. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it.
That's the lady that Hannity is dating.
No, no, it's not. He's dating the other one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll play it Monday. I'll find it. I don't do this to Sheldon. I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to send it to you. Sheldon, pull up the email of Glenn Beck. I sent you a standalone email of Glenn Beck. Hey, folks, somebody sent me an email last night and said, hey, coach, is Glenn Beck watching you? I said, what? He said, look at this. Is Glenn Beck watching you? Listen to this. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Where are the pastors? Where are the preachers? Where are the men and women of God that know what is actually happening right here, right now, and have the guts to stand up and lead this nation back to common sense, to kindness, to the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, everything our parents and grandparents taught us, all the things that that simple man from Nazareth taught? I want you to listen to me really carefully. I want you to listen to these words. This nation is not evil. But believe me, it is about to be. If good men and women do not stand up, if they continue to do nothing, the freedom we all enjoy, as well as the hope of freedom, now only dreamt about by the 40 million men, women, and children who are actual slaves today. Those who have been taken, ripped from their families so they could be sold to the highest bidder. And that doesn't even include the political prisoners. Those who are persecuted because of their faith, their sexuality, their race, or 100 other stupid reasons. That small flicker of hope that those people hold on to, that there's somewhere to run, that somebody cares, that somebody's coming, that somebody hasn't forgotten them, that light will be snuffed out. And we will become more dark and terrible than any of the totalitarian states Karl Marx could have ever imagined. Where are you, moms and dads, grandparents, millennials? Where are all the black matriarchs? Those of you who know what's good and healthy for your grandchildren, you know what this country can mean for them. You know your grandchildren's biggest threat comes from the streets, the gangs, the drugs, and the loss of God. Where are you? Do you realize that only 16% of the American public, and that's white and black, Republican, Democrat, only 16% of the American public are actually for defunding the police. Even fewer are for disbanding the police. Now, why is that? Because you and I both know what life in the cities would mean without a police force. We know it. Chaos, cruelty, and all those who are the most vulnerable will suffer the worst. But mark my words, no matter how much you play along, the mob will come for you. They will take what you have, because when you actually read the words or listen to people like I just played for you, the people who lead these groups, they are for revolution. They are for chaos. They are for taking you, the system, and everything you've ever held dear down, rip it apart, destroy it, burn it, and never look back. Where's your voice? America, why are you silent? What your grandparents, the greatest generation, what they fought for is about to be lost, but not on the beaches of Normandy. No, shamefully, it's all about to be lost with a yawn and a whimper.
That's good enough, Sheldon. Folks, I suggest that you watch this entire thing by Glenn Beck. It was really, listen, I know he's a Mormon. I get it. But everything Glenn Beck says in this, in that 16-minute rant, 17-minute rant is, where are the churches? Where is everybody as all this crap's going on? Where is it? Hey, Sheldon, I just sent you the Fox News clip. I think we can play it now. And folks, I want to play it because it's illustrative. You have to see how they do that. I hear somebody try to come in. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, you got my blood pressure up.
I'm trying to. Okay, folks. I want you to remember Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Make them live up to their own standards. You watch him right at the very beginning knock Martha McCallum back off her heels. He's on the offensive. She's on the defensive. Go ahead, Sheldon.
So, you know, obviously, you know, people watch what you say in that video that you want to now shove legislation down people's throats. Now,
Sheldon,
go
back to the beginning.
Everyone...
Start at the beginning again, because he gets it right out of the box.
Black Lives Matter for Greater New York. Good to have you with us tonight, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, obviously, you know, people watch what you say in that video that you want to now shove legislation down people's throats now that you have everyone's attention. And you also have called, said that violence is sometimes necessary in these situations. What exactly is it that you hope to achieve through violence?
Wow. It's interesting that you would pose that question like that, because this country is built upon violence. What was the American Revolution? Mm-hmm. What's our diplomacy across the globe? We go in and we blow up countries and we replace their leaders with leaders who we like. So for any American
Stop
to
second.
Accuse us of being violent, it's
Do you see what he just did? Do you see what he just did, right? He took governmental action and applied it to Martha, and she's undone. Keep going.
Extremely hypocritical. Now, when we talk about
but
violence,
you just
we
said
talk
in
about
that video,
using
sir,
self-defense.
Just to you
the,
said, I
we
understand.
Use,
that,
we use, why are you screaming and not allowing me to talk,
well,
ma'am?
Because
you asked me a question, allow me to answer.
Go ahead.
I'm in the process of answering,
ahead,
and
I'm
I won't
listening.
Be that much longer.
I'm listening.
Okay? You asked what we
Who's in control?
To achieve.
Hey, hang
We're
on a second.
About
hang on a second,
We're
Sheldon.
Talking about four.
Who's in control of this interview, huh? Who's in control of this interview? Go ahead.
Four or five police officers choking someone to death and someone from the community having the training to intervene effectively. We're talking about saving lives. Nobody's talking about ambushing police officers. We're talking about protecting lives. And there's nothing more American than that. And when we talk about uplifting and upholding the Second Amendment, I think that you should be applauding me. Seeing as though you guys are huge supporters of the Second Amendment, but it seems to be the hypocrisy of America that when black people start talking about arming themselves and defending themselves, the talk is violence. But when white people grab assault rifles and go to our nation's, their state's capitals, it's all good.
Stop all right. Stop, first of all, I've never talked about my stance on the Second Amendment.
Hang on. She's on the defensive. See, listen, he's all of a sudden made it about black people want to have guns to defend themselves, right? They're shooting each other in the hood. They're not having guns to defend themselves. But do you see how he took the argument, applied to her argument, and she's already apologizing? She's, oh, well, I'm not really a Second Amendment. She doesn't know what to say. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, I'm not criticizing you or praising
you. Don't support the Second Amendment. You don't support the Second Amendment.
That's not my role here to talk about my opinion.
I'm asking you a question. Do you support the Second Amendment?
The Second Amendment is part of our Constitution.
Do you support the Second Amendment, yes or no? A lot of your viewers would like to know if you support the Second Amendment.
Well, that's fine. But that's not why we're here. And the only reason that I posed that first question to you the way that I did was that I watched you talking on a bunch of different interviews today. And you said, burn it down. You said, burn it down. It's time. So that makes me think that you want to burn
time.
It down.
I said, if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. All right. And I could be speaking figuratively.
Okay.
I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation. Like, let's be very real. And let's observe the history of the 1960s. When black people were rioting, we had the highest growth in wealth, in property ownership. Think about the last few weeks. Since we started protesting, there have been 8 cops fired across the country. You remember they were telling us that there was due process. That's why the cop that choked Eric Garner to death kept his job and received raises for 5 years. Anytime a cop hurt a woman, hurt a child, hurt pregnant people, hurt our elders, there was always a call for due process. You must wait. You must wait. But the moment people start destroying property, now cops can be fired automatically. What is this country rewarding? What behavior is it listening to? Obviously not marching, but when people get aggressive and they escalate their protests, the
you
country
feel like
listens.
That's when you're getting results.
Cops get fired. Now you have police officers, you have Republican politicians talking about police reform. I don't condone nor do I condemn rioting, but I'm just telling you what I observe.
You're saying that that's what appears to be working and getting results right now, and maybe that is something for, you know, everybody to think about. I just want to put up this quote from Martin Luther King, and I've heard you talk about Martin Luther King versus Malcolm X, and you said that he, you know, was an anomaly, Martin Luther King. He said, let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power and human power. Do you agree with that?
I love the Lord. And my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the most famous black radical revolutionary in history. And he was treated just like Dr. King. He was arrested on occasion, and he was also crucified or assassinated. This is what happens to black activists. We are killed by the government. Well, and if you need context, if you read your Bible, it'll say that Jesus had feet like burnt brass and hair like wool. I don't know if you noticed, but our hair seems to be more like wool, and we seem to be likened to that color than anyone else.
Shut it down. I'm going to start screaming. Shut it down. Do you see it, folks? Do you see it? You think this guy hasn't been trained? You know what I would like to... can you imagine what his argument would look like with an average local pastor? Have any idea? He just tied this professional interviewer in knots. She couldn't wait for this segment to be over because he was kicking her arse by using her own values.
Hey, Coach.
It's been a bloodbath.
Coach.
Yes.
I wonder how many people in the queue here and listening right now caught the biblical error that he made in his argument.
Well, Larry, she doesn't know. He can just start saying anything about the Bible, right? Now, all of a sudden, it matters whether Jesus was black or not, because obviously Jesus was black and the Jews killed him because he was a black man. And the same thing's going, oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, the biblical error was he indicated from his statement that Jesus had been arrested, several times, at least more than once. He said occasions, plural.
Yeah, they meant well, Larry, she ain't gonna be able to argue. She's just looking at the clock, hoping this segment gets over because she knows she's being eaten alive by a trained professional communist agitator. That's what we're seeing.
Reverend Mason Weaver.
They won't have him to be there.
He needed to be there in that interview, Coach.
Yeah, but they're not going to have him on.
Absolutely not.
Listen, hey, folks, Fox News doesn't want us to win. You understand that, don't you? Huh? Do you understand that? Fox News doesn't want us to win. They don't want us to win. If they wanted us to win, they wouldn't have Juan Williams on making the argument for the black community all the time. If they really wanted us to win, they wouldn't have him on there.
This man is driven by an evil spirit. So this shows what happens when we say conservatism is pretend salt. So when you bring pretend salt to an actual spiritual battle, this is the bloodbath you get, right? The Sons of Sceva, same thing. Yes, Fox News, same thing. Pretend salt.
Well, and you notice right away, he said, you're not against the Second Amendment, are you? He's smart enough to know all that NASCAR crowd and all those are the Fox News viewers. And he says, well, I'm going to pin this woman down. Hey, Martha, you're not against the Second Amendment, are you? Boy, she didn't know how to paddle out of that one, did she? Right? Yeah.
Did he take the initiative in the very beginning when he said America was founded on violence? Because that's not true. Yes, America was founded on the Constitution and the ideas of the Constitution. It wasn't founded on violence. Is that the lie?
Well, she let him get away with it either way, right? Either way. Because, see, again, we don't understand violence. It's force. It's not violence, folks. It's force. Force leads to violence. Force. Violence is a response to force. Violence is a response to force. And we're going to see violence in America because of the force they're applying to us. Going to make you wear a mask. They're going to make you wear one. See, they force you into a response that they call violence. Right?
Hey, Coach, real quick. When I was at Black Lives Matter, I preached the biblical truth and other statistics, and I shut them up. And their only response was, Black Lives Matter, I can't breathe.
Jeff, what do you expect them to do? Do you expect them to all of a sudden receive Jesus? Jeff, these are trained agitators. They are more deeply committed to Black Lives Matters and communism and Marxism than to the average Christian. The average Christian has no commitment to truth or to their faith. These folks are committed to death to their ideology, and Christians aren't. That's why we're losing the battle. They train. How about this? They train their warriors how to fight. You learning that in your church? Love, love, love. Huh? Jesus wants to bless you. Are you learning that in your church? Jesus loves the little children. They won't even save babies, right? So we're looking at the foundations having been destroyed because there's a group of people out there that are committed to an ungodly, devilish agenda, and they are all in.
They're being trained to occupy.
All we have to offer them is love, love, love. That's all we have to offer them.
Yeah, Coach, they're being trained to occupy.
They are. They are, and we're not. In fact, don't they call it Occupy Wall Street? Huh? Didn't they go in there and didn't they occupy nine city blocks in Seattle? Didn't Jesus tell us occupy? Do we see how you occupy? Do you see what happens? Do you see what occupation looks like? Jesus told us to do that.
Coach, Occupy Wall Street was the precursor to this.
Well, it's all the same game plan, right? It's all the same game plan. Hey, by the way, Vinny, you're not against guns, are you? Martha, you're not against guns. Everybody watches Fox News. Would you say right now, Martha, that you're for the Second Amendment? All your people watching? She just melted. She got melted. This guy is a communist. He may be black. He's a communist, Marxist revolutionary who has a black face. Hey, and Coach, we can't see through it. Yeah, Joe.
Look at your hat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sold not for sale.
It's already sold.
Buy this one.
He already sold that one, didn't he, brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's already for sale because Satan's already bought it. Satan ain't selling it back, right? These guys are masters, folks. The devil is a master. He's a master and we're told not to be ignorant of his devices, and we can't even change tactics or adjust our game plan to what we
now, we're even warned about which master to serve.
Can't serve two masters. I got to run. I got to go to court. I got to go stand with Alicia. God bless y'all. Man, what a time to be alive. Let's learn. Let's learn. Let's see what's going on. Let's take this kingdom to a different level, folks. Let's advance this kingdom of God. God bless you. See you on Monday.